Hello and welcome to the Raw and Uncovered podcast with me, James Middleton. Thank you so much for tuning in to episode number 2. I say tuning in, you're not really, are you? I feel like I'm a radio show host saying thanks for tuning in. You just open up an app and pick your podcast and press play. So thanks for joining. Anyway, today's episode is all about going back to basics. And the reason why I wanted to do this episode and talk about everything that's going to come up in this podcast is because I feel like today everything is so complicated when it comes to pretty much anything. Like, we have access to so much information on the internet and social media, and we are told so many different things from all these so-called experts, and you know, everyone has a voice now and everyone's giving their opinion and kind of warping the science to fit their narrative. And it's very, very confusing. Even for me as a fitness coach and personal trainer and someone who talks a lot about being healthy, and I have my whole online coaching business and fitness app where, you know, we're helping people every single day live healthier, better lives. Even I feel like sometimes I get caught up in all of this like complicated nonsense that, to be honest, most of us don't need to know about. There is a lot of basics that I think that get lost. And the thing is, I'm just going to be real here. The fitness industry doesn't make money off of simple, basic information. All of these people who are trying to sell their books and trying to push products and supplements and all this kind of stuff, they want to try and confuse you a little bit. So you think, oh, hold on, I don't really understand. Oh, actually, he's explaining or she's explaining this in a bit more detail. Oh, okay, that makes sense. It's almost like people overcomplicate stuff to then tell you the solution just to fit their own agenda. And I think with that, and look, if I, like, I know a fair amount of stuff about being fit and healthy, right? But if I was someone who had no idea, like a lot of people out there, you know, maybe some of you are kind of slowly coming around to learning more and more about things. But if at the very start of my fitness journey, I was listening to some of this stuff, I wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't know where to go. You're being pulled in so many different directions. So I want to strip everything back in this podcast and take us right back to the very backbone of what I believe it means to be healthy and how to be fit and healthy. And all the things that I'm going to discuss in this podcast are things that everyone can do. A lot of them are completely free, and a lot of them are using nature and just doing what we have been doing for thousands and thousands of years as a human race. And I ask myself this question a lot when I look around at society and see the vast changes since our ancestral predecessors. I think, right, we've gone from walking around barefoot everywhere, hunting our own food, sleeping when the sun goes down, waking when it rises, spending quality time every day with family and friends, to now sitting down for 8 hours a day, sometimes longer, scrolling aimlessly on our phones, information overload, our brains frying, ordering food because we can't be bothered to leave our sofa, and staying up way past our bedtime, just drowning ourselves in blue light and different forms of entertainment. And I'm sorry for the morbid kind of start to this podcast in that sense, but I think sometimes it's needed. I think a lot of us need a bit of a wake-up call and a reality check. And a lot of people don't even think about this kind of stuff, but I seem to find myself thinking about it a lot. And on the whole, I'm a very optimistic person. All right, I'm a very positive person, but I often think about these things because I think it's important to. Of course, human evolution happens. Technology advances our world quite dramatically, and it's a great tool, right? I think technology is unbelievable, some of the things that we've been able to do, and there are certainly many, many positives. But I fear that too many of us are stepping away from what it actually means to be a human being, to be human. And with that, our primal existence disappears more and more every day. I've noticed in particular since moving to the US, I am spending so much more time indoors. And there's a stat that says, Americans spend 90% of their time indoors. 90%. And I'm sure, by the way, I'm sure that's not only the case for Americans. I'm sure that's the stat's probably similar to many countries around the world too, especially, you know, if you live somewhere where it's raining and the weather's miserable and crap all the time, you're even more likely to stay indoors all day. You've got no reason to go outside. At least here, especially where I am, you know, the weather's pretty good a lot of the time, so I love being outside in the sunshine. But here, because the country is so big, and I'm going to be real here, this country is not built for walking. Maybe it's just because where I am, I'm out on the sticks a little bit down in sort of like the country, but where I live, there are no sidewalks along the bigger roads. And it makes it so difficult to go for just a casual run or a walk anywhere outside your neighborhood unless you get in the car and drive somewhere to do that, which of course is an option, but it kind of takes away the speciality of being able to just simply leave your house and go for a long escape, whether you're running or walking. And I do actually, that's probably one of the big things I miss about living in London. I mean, there's a lot of things I don't miss at all, but one of the things I do miss is just being able to walk outside your front door and just go for a 20, 30 minute walk, like wherever you want, really. So on that, my step count has dropped dramatically since moving here. And I think that's to be expected. I think, you know, living in a big city, you do generally walk everywhere. Okay. And it's probably one of the great benefits of being in the city, but there is a kind of trade-off. But, you know, I would take the quiet that I have here and where I am now any day. Like I'm just obsessed with it. I'm so obsessed. I just can't get over it. Every morning I wake up and it's just pure silence. Maybe Shannon's snoring a little bit, but other than that, it's fantastic. And the other day, right, I walked outside of my front door to take in some morning sunlight and I heard this bird singing away and that's all I could hear. I was standing there, feet on the grass, grounding myself. I'll come onto that in a second. Morning sunlight, I'll also come onto that. And I just said to myself, I just heard this little bird singing and I thought, now that is one unbelievable serotonin boost that everyone should be experiencing in their morning. That, you know, the sun was like glowing on my skin, the birds were chirping away. Oh, it was bliss. And that was a nice reminder of why I escaped the hustle and bustle of the city. But don't get me wrong, right? I'm a city boy at heart, okay? That's where I've grew up. It's my pride and joy, my bread and butter. And I do like to venture into the city here where I live to get amongst the energy, you know, and faster pace of life. I think sometimes I look around and I think, God, do any of these people actually leave this neighborhood? Because, you know, in my mind, you can wither away out here with not much kind of interaction and fast pace. So I think the perfect combo of living is to be able to retreat to the quiet suburbs with the option of going into the chaos when you want some, you know, just light a fire up your ass, go into the city, be in amongst it. And I actually do that. I dip in and out a few days a week. I go into the city 2-3 days a week just to work and, you know, walk around, be around people and the slightly fast pace, it keeps my engine, you know, running high, keeps the diesel burning. And I think we all need a little bit of fast pace action from time to time. I do. I think our base should be peace and quiet for sure. But yeah, I think we need that. But look, going back to this business of being inside all the time, it's not good for us. It really isn't. Like under blue light all day. And by blue light, I mean artificial lights, okay? Like, and that actually, from all the papers that I've been reading and a lot of illnesses come directly from people not getting outside into the fresh air and sunshine, like directly and indirectly. The lack of sunlight people are seeing in our modern day is alarming. And you can take vitamin D tablets and you know, you can supplement that, and that's one vitamin that you can actually supplement that I think you can do it and take quite a lot of vitamin D and it not do anything too crazy to you. Don't quote me on that, by the way. Please double check fact that with your doctor or whatever. But from what I've read, you can take a fair amount of vitamin D and it does, like, obviously it does help, but nothing is like getting, you know, vitamin D directly from the sunlight. Nothing. And I think the lack of sunlight is, to be honest, it's alarming. And I'll come on to the benefits of sun exposure in a moment, but we all need to get outside more, man. Into the fresh air. Make that a priority. There has to be a correlation with being inside all day and having no sunlight, no fresh air, and the increasing rise of anxiety and depression. There must be. It's just crazy how powerful, like on the flip side, how powerful even going for a 20-minute walk is. I think it's one of the best pieces of therapy. No phone. You know, you don't always have to listen to something. I mean, I do like listening to podcasts sometimes, but sometimes just go for a walk with nothing but yourself, just you and your thoughts. It is one of the most meditative things you can do. I truly believe that. And I think the issue nowadays on that, no one likes to be alone with their thoughts. It's a scary thing. We'd rather distract ourselves all the time with social media or Netflix or anything to prevent us from simply being present with only our thoughts. And I think that's really sad. And again, it's why so many people, I think, are suffering with anxiety and depression, and why those rates have gone up. Of course, there's a lot more to the cause of those two things for sure. But the fact that we can't sit alone in a room with our thoughts without the need to occupy ourselves, or we go crazy, it's really sad. Like, when was the last time you just sat on your sofa for 10, 15 minutes? I know you might look like a serial killer from the outside if your neighbors just see you sitting there with your hands in your lap, just staring at your wall. But when was the last time you did that? When was the last time you just actually, you know, on public transport or just in your car, you're just there existing, driving, just sitting and just taking in what's around you and just processing your thoughts? And I think from time to time, I'd encourage you to put your phone down, put your book down, and simply sit and exist. It's so important. And we're not designed, our brains aren't designed to be occupied 24/7. They are fried already with all this information we have access to and all this dopamine that we're receiving. We just need to chill and relax and just sit there. I promise you, it will do wonders for you. Even if you do it just every now and again, next time you're driving, don't play any music, don't listen to a podcast or audiobook, just drive and be present. I tell you what, more people need to do that here. Gee, in Tennessee, the side note, the driving is atrocious here. I'm going to say it is abysmal. People don't use their indicators. People are on their phone, swerving all over the road. Like, it is nuts. And I don't know. Maybe it's because I've come from London and everyone's like hot on it when you drive, because you have to be, because there's so much going on. Here, people are on freaking autopilot. Even the police are just are terrible. They're like, they don't indicate either. And I won't say too much in case there's any officers listening and they, you know, pull me over for slagging them off. But I think it would help everyone if they're just a bit more present and freaking switch their minds on when they drive. God. Anyway, that was a bit of a rant. Apologies. But yeah, speaking of which, actually, when you're driving, I don't see anyone with driving with the windows down. What's that about? You're inside all day here in the AC, and you get a chance to get in your car and just pop the window down, taking that fresh air. No one does it. Turn the AC off. Pop the window down. Let the fresh air fill your lungs. You freaking need it. You need to let that carbon dioxide out. Oh, honestly, it's turning into a bit of a rant, isn't it? No, but seriously, everyone drives with their windows up here. It's crazy. People are literally living inside air conditioning incubators all the time. And I get, obviously, when it's hot, it's not that pleasant. But even then, just a nice warm breeze up your ass in your car. Delicious. Open the windows, guys. This allows, honestly, little things like this, just cracking the window open, even if it's for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, that and getting outside more is probably one of the many things we can all be doing that's completely free and a part of this concept of going back to basics in order to truly, truly maximize our health. And yeah, it's all about health maximizing. You know, you don't have to be perfect and you don't have to do it all the time, but just from time to time, the things that I'm going to talk about, try and do them, because they will have huge, huge impact on your health. So what happens when we humans move away from our very natural being? Think about it, right? What happens when we get taken out of the state of how we are naturally meant to be? We become restless, unhappy, confused. We become anxious, depressed, like I've mentioned. And I'm not saying we need to go back into the woods and hunt our own food and bathe in river water. Although, you know what? I would take that in a freaking heartbeat if someone offered that to me. Just for a few days. I think we could all do with that kind of escape. Just to sit by a fire and watch the stars and just remember what it's truly like to be human. No phone, no distractions, no constant entertainment, frying our poor little brains. Just alone time. Maybe, you know, bring some friends, because actually, You don't want to be alone too long. You might go crazy. But yeah, bring some good mates. And look, imagine that. I could just picture it now. You and your mates around a fire, a couple of marshmallows, you know, river water flowing down. You see a big grizzly bear in the background or in the distance, and you think, wow, he's big. That's cool. But you know, you're just in nature. I think that kind of thing is super healing. Speaking of which, I'm just writing down a note right now. I'm going to find something that I can do that here. You know, I'm sure there's plenty of places. Just hop over to Colorado and do some fishing and that kind of stuff. I think we could all be better going back to our primal habits, the way the world and nature intended it to be for us. And I read this book called Be More Human by a guy called Tony Riddle. Be More Human, Tony Riddle, which was actually recommended by a follower on Instagram. So if you're that person who recommended that to me, thank you so much. Big shout out to you, because that really changed my perspective on how I live my life today. And there was some of it that was a bit far-fetched, and I was like, okay, pal, like, I'm like, let's be honest, I'm not going to freaking go outside. By the way, you notice I say freaking a lot because I can't say the F word, because as I told you, my mum listens to this and I can't swear on this podcast. So I'm just going to, I've replaced with freaking. But yeah, some of it is far-fetched, and you just have to gloss over that stuff. I mean, this guy is kind of like a modern day Tarzan, but he also spits some facts, and it's amazing. And it's why I love books like this, because it just takes one book to shift your perspective for the better. And if you're reading many, just think about how much of a positive impact all these books like this can have on improving your life and your way of thinking. Funny story quickly, actually. Shannon and I were sitting in bed on Saturday morning. We just woke up. It was like 7 a.m., I think. And we woke up naturally, her a bit before me. We're actually now waking up without an alarm clock. I know, very impressive, hey? Talk about being more human. Look at us waking up without an alarm clock. But it's incredible. And this is how we do it. So we go to sleep. We're pretty good, actually, with our going to bed and waking up. We go to sleep at around 9:30 p.m., I think. 9:30, 10 p.m. And we're now waking up naturally probably around, I'd say, like 6-ish, like 5:30, 6-ish. And it has been incredible. We don't put the blackout curtains down because we realize, like, waking up in the morning with blackout curtains, you don't know what time it is. You think it's 4 a.m. in the morning. So we leave those up, and we've got these drapes, really nice drapes in our bedroom, which makes the room like dark enough to sleep in, but it allows that natural light to come in the morning. And the sun rises here, yeah, I think at about 6-ish. Well, yeah, 6-ish. So it's perfect, really. And I'd highly recommend trying to wake up without an alarm if you can. If you were going to bed on time and you're waking up on time, like the same time every day, and you do that for at least a week, so just try and go to bed and wake up at the same time every day for a week, your circadian rhythm will start properly finding its rhythm, and you'll wake up, you'll begin to wake up naturally. But it's really important that you are consistent with going to sleep and waking up at the same time. Obviously, set an alarm just in case. I don't want you freaking messaging me and saying, James, I was late for work 3 days in a row because you told me to not wake up with an alarm. Like, set an alarm as backup always, but you'll likely end up waking up just before. And it makes waking up and getting out of bed so much easier, because your body is naturally starting to get ready the day. You don't hear this like, and you know, which absolutely, personally, when I hear that kind of alarm, it sends my cortisol through the roof, and I'm stressed when I wake up, which is not ideal for us at all. Anyway, after reading this book, it really opened up my eyes to actually how far away we've become from you know, what we used to do and just being human. And it's not entirely our own fault, by the way. We're all kind of battling modern society's influence and steer on the world. But just how actually easy it is, like on a positive note, how actually easy it is to return to the habits and states to which we as a human race have survived and thrived for thousands and thousands of years. I walk barefoot wherever I can now. I make sure my feet touch the grass in my garden every day. If I'm going over to our neighbor's house, our neighbors, Taylor and Mike, if you follow me, you'll know them probably, but they're Shannon's best friends. Shannon and Taylor, bought a house next to each other. I think that's what you do in America. There are friends, by the way. I don't just walk into people's homes like barefoot. People would be like, okay, mate, like, where are your shoes and what are you doing? Look, it's that weird bloke from London again who never wears shoes. Do you think that's a London thing? It can't be. That city is filthy. Surely he wears shoes. That's very strange. But I tried to walk around barefoot at every opportunity in my own house and to and from, you know, Taylor and Mike's house. But it, like, do it. It feels so liberating. Feet on the grass and grounding, as they call it. It also has a plethora. Why did I just say that? A plethora of benefits, grounding. It appears, so actually this is, I actually wrote a couple of notes down because I knew I'd forget this, but grounding appears to improve sleep. It normalizes the day-night cortisol rhythm, reduces pain, reduces stress. It shifts the autonomic nervous system from sympathetic towards parasympathetic activation. So it makes you, you know, a lot calmer. It increases heart rate variability, speed wound healing. So if you've got wounds, it helps heal them. It reduces blood viscosity. I mean, talk about benefits, right? Just for sticking your feet on the grass for 5-10 minutes. And a summary of that has actually been published in the Journal of Environmental and Public Health. So if you want to read about it all further, do. But it is fascinating. And people often overlook the benefits of simply walking around barefoot on the soil. But like those benefits, it's nuts. You wouldn't think it, but it's crazy. And it's not pseudoscience. It's factual science. And it's what we used to do all the time. But now, what do we do now? We cram our feet into shoes that look trendy, but are completely crushing our toes together. Women in high heels, the most unnatural foot position to walk in you could possibly imagine, which causes, as I'm sure you're probably aware, all sorts of damage. I'm not saying, ladies, stop wearing high heels because you'll look sexy in them, right? But just if you're wearing high heels all day in an office, that is not good for your feet and your entire body because it all filters up, right? Everything stems from your foot position. So if your feet are in heels, you're putting muscles and bones into positions they shouldn't be in for a long period of time. So if you can, just try and be barefoot as much as possible, especially, you know, with so many of us working from home, walk around home bare feet touching the ground. Don't put slippers on or shoes on all the time, okay? Especially when it's warm, get those little tootsies out, all right? And if you can, try do some form of grounding daily. Some of my clients, for example, who don't have access to a garden, because I know what you're thinking, well, James, it's all right for you because you live out of the sticks. I'm in an apartment building. I can't walk around on my balcony. It's not the same thing. You are right. But if you do live in a city, and this is what my clients do, they go to a park on their morning walk or whatever after work, and they take their shoes off and they walk around barefoot for a bit. I don't know. They take a phone call and they just walk around in circles. They just put their feet on the grass. You can just stand there. Take your phone calls outside with your feet on the ground. I do this all the time, just outside the front of my house or hoose, which went a bit Scottish there. Outside the front of my house or out in my garden, I just walk around barefoot, spread my toes out, give them a little wiggle. Just make sure, you know, my feet are getting that width and that breathing. And if you go in work in an office, take your shoes off when you're sitting at your desk. Your boss isn't there going to check if you're wearing your shoes at work. If he does, he or she is a weirdo. But take your shoes off. Wiggle your toes around. Let your feet be free in their natural state. It has so many benefits. You know, going back to basics. Maybe don't walk around your office with your toes out because people be like, what is going on? But, you know, just at least sit at your desk. Get your feet out. Take your socks off. Let them breathe. Oh, I'm enjoying this podcast. I hope you guys are. Lots more to unpack. Don't worry, it's not going to be too long. But speaking of sitting down, now that is something that is truly, truly destroying people's bodies and a big contributor to future health problems like weight gain, poor heart health, dementia, depression. Yes, all of those things sitting down for too long are linked to those things that I've just said. And people don't think about it at all. Like, it's just become the normal now. But think about it like this, truly. If you're sitting down, okay, you wake up in the morning. If you're sitting down when eating breakfast, okay, then you're sitting down on your commute to work, sitting down at a desk all day, sitting down when you get home for dinner, and sitting down watching TV, and then lying down in bed, you have spent your entire day seated. Our ancestors averaged 17,000 steps a day. Now many people don't make it over 2,000. Come on, man. Come on. I know our ancestors were running around like lunatics, killing wild animals. Sure, that's probably where they racked up a few. But it's crazy. And again, it goes back to my earlier point, especially in the US. Here, you cannot walk everywhere. An Uber, right? You call an Uber, 4 minutes till destination, right? You look up how long it's going to take to walk there, an hour and a half. How does that work? An hour and a half for a 4 minute Uber. It's crazy here. I once was like, oh, it's only a five minute Uber. Let's just walk. First of all, where can you walk? There are no sidewalks. And B, it was an hour and a half. I still don't know how that works out, but you just can't walk, right? So you're in cars everywhere, but walking is now considered exercise because we do so little. The 10,000 step rule, by the way, because I know some of you, a lot of you ask me that, oh, like 10,000 steps, 10,000 steps. It's a load of bollocks. You don't need to do 10,000 steps. It's some arbitrary number that someone made up. And if you hear some fitness influencer or your coach tells you, you have to do 10,000 steps or you're a low life loser, tell them to fuck off, all right? Give them a fat middle finger because you don't need to do that. Of course, right? Logically, the more steps you can do in a day, the better. Walking is the most underrated, readily available, effective forms of exercise we can do. See, I just bloody said it, exercise that we can do. We'll keep taking it as exercise because you'll likely do it more if you see it as that, as it carries with it more benefits, the word exercise. So we'll just keep calling it exercise. I actually have no issue with that. But it's low impact, okay? Low impact. It keeps your joints and muscles working. It's great for fat loss. And like I said, you can do it anytime. And because it's so low intensity, you can do what, you can take phone calls, you can listen to stuff, text, whatever you want to do on your phone calls. So I would encourage you just to be someone who walks at every opportunity. If you take the train or the tube to work and there are escalators, walk up and down them. Be the person that walks up and down escalators. You might not think much of it, but do that every day, 5 days a week for a year, and it will have a huge impact on your fitness and your health. And this is the whole thing with getting fit and healthy. You don't need to be doing the big, crazy things on a daily basis to stay fit and healthy. It is the small things like that done again and again and again, which is how you become fit, which is how you lose weight, which is how you stay healthy. Be the person who walks up escalators or takes the stairs whenever they are next to them. Whenever you see stairs next to the escalator, be that person that walks up and down them. In the US, there are stairs next to every escalator. I know that. Well, at least in airports, all right? So next time you're on there, think about me in your head. You better take those stairs. Yeah, I'm watching you. All right. But again, like no one uses them. I've come off a 4 hour flight before. I was flying from Nashville to LA, about 4 hours, where everyone is sat down for the duration. Like people just, no one, like 99% of the plane didn't even go for a wee. I'm like, 4 hours? I'm like, how are you still sitting down for 4 hours? I have to get up and, you know, do a little walk up and down the plane and stretch my legs. But we get off the plane, right? And head to these escalators straight away. And there are some steps next to it. Me and this one other lady were the only two people out of, I'd say, 100 who were there at the time to walk up the stairs. And I just smiled at the lady. She knew. She freaking knew. Maybe she's been listening. But this is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. There are opportunities every day that we can be doing to improve our health and to improve our lifestyle. And things like this where we should be, all of us, walking and using our legs. If you have legs, use them. Like we are, you should be grateful. I'm so grateful I get to move my body. You should be saying, I'm grateful I've got legs that work. I'm going to use them. Especially because we live in the most sedentary era of our life, of the world, right? Of all time. We have never been more stationary. And so don't be one of those stats that contributes to this ever-growing number, okay? go back to basics, walk more, as much as you can, wherever you can. Even if you have to get one of those freaking walking machines, you know, that everyone's buying at home where you're walking and working, do that. Great. Great. If you can get outside, outside of blue light, into the sunshine, even better. If you cannot physically do that and you're sitting down at desk to work because you've got some big project, just try stand up every 20, 30 minutes and do a minute of half squats. Not even full squats, just half squats. That will pump the blood around your body. You get more blood to your brain and it can actually help clear any brain fog and make you more alert. And if someone looks at you in the office and you're like, what are you doing? Turn to them and continue doing it. Looking them straight in the eye and do not lose eye contact. That'll get them to turn away. Maybe don't do that actually, because your boss might be like, right, he's walking around with no socks on, barefoot, and he's doing half squats at his desk every 20, 30 minutes. What is this nutcase doing and what has he taken? And you'll be like, I listen to the Raw and Uncovered podcast. Maybe you should give it a go. Right, where are we? Okay, next on the agenda, morning sunlight exposure. Again, something so basic and simple, but something that we should all be doing a lot more of. And I've been reading a lot about it and its benefits, and they are astounding. I'm telling you, morning sunlight is the foundation of human life. Sorry, not human life. Human health. That would be a bit crazy. Human health. We have evolved to rise with the sun and be asleep soon after it sets. We are circadian creatures. We literally operate with the sun rising and setting, and our biological clocks are fully dictated by the sun. And I think people either A, forget this, or B, don't even realize this. Even on a cloudy day, and I know lots of you, trust me, I know because I lived there for 29 years, lots of you who live in England and other places which generally don't see much sunlight, one of the reasons I personally left, but even on a cloudy day, this still works, okay? Getting outside in the morning. The first 30 to 60 minutes, ideally, upon waking, get outside and get that natural light into your eyes and on your skin. If you can't do the first 30 to 60 minutes, just any time before 10 a.m. and you'll see a benefit, okay? And here are the benefits, right? Again, I've made some little notes because I can't remember all this stuff off the top of my head. I'm not that much of a genius. I'm not a genius at all. I actually wrote a lot of this down, this section, because there's some fascinating stuff in here, okay? Right, so your eyes, right? Morning sunlight contains this broad spectrum of light wavelengths. One of these is deep red light. This deep red light improves declining eyesight with just 1 3-minute session. So if you're doing that every single morning, think about how much better your eyesight is going to be. And that's another problem. People walk around and wear sunglasses all the time. I understand in the midday sun, when the sun is glaring and you can't see jack shit, then, sorry for swearing, mum, jack shit, then I understand sunglasses. If you're driving and the sun is beaming in your eyes and you cannot see, put sunglasses on. But in the morning, oh my God, I see people driving around at 9 a.m. in the morning with sunglasses on. I'm like, take them off, man. Let that UV come into your eyes. It is, and then people complain who wear sunglasses all the time. Oh, my eyesight's so bad. I can't see. You know, the sun's glaring. Yeah, but that's because your eyes are behind curtains the whole time. You have to expose your eyes to sunlight, and morning sunlight is the best thing for it because it's not that strong, and it's got this deep red light that I just spoke about that genuinely just improves your eyesight. So if you can, don't wear sunglasses at least in the morning or for as long as you can, okay? Because I promise you it will make your eyesight better and it will make your eyes stronger, and there are just so many benefits to it, okay? Your skin. Morning sunlight on bare skin is the best way to prime the skin for midday UV conditions. It's the single greatest trick to avoid burning. Some of you might know that, but I bet a lot of you didn't know that, okay? Especially for fairer skin people. Why is that? And I wrote this word down, I don't even know how to pronounce it, but it's called filaggrin production. And I won't go into the science behind it, but it essentially, what it does is this filaggrin, it creates more of a protective barrier on your skin for stronger UV later in the day. So you're literally protecting yourself from melanoma by getting red light spectrum, especially in the morning. And on this, the reason why people burn, a lot of people burn so much in the sun, is because they haven't prepped their skin at all during the months before exposure. You know, if you think about it, going back to that stat, people are inside 90% of the time under blue light. And then they go away on holiday, or, you know, a couple of the weekends of the year when it's really hot, they go outside into the midday summer sun and cook themselves. Like, of course you're going to burn if your skin has not been prepped throughout the entire year, and then you're suddenly stepping out into this high UV midday sun, putting all this toxic chemical sunscreen on. Like, of course you're going to fry your skin. That's why people burn so much. They don't think about the fact that, you know, our skin has to be prepped. You have to expose it to this, you know, sunlight. And that's why morning sunlight is so great, because it's not that high in UV, and it's got different UV rays that are actually very good for your skin. Like, it's very difficult to burn in the morning sun. I would say, I mean, this is a bold statement, but it kind of seems true to me. Like, no one burns in the morning sun. Everyone burns when the UVs are high, you know, in the middle of the day. So much of sun protection happens inside our bodies, and building sun tolerance when it's safe in the morning and evening with low UV and doing it bare skin is one of the best things you can do. And actually, a fun fact on that, evening sun, if you burn in the day, it's really important you get evening sun, because evening sun is healing. Apparently that heals the skin from burning. And you think, right, like of course, it makes sense. We go back to our ancestors. Yeah, this all makes sense. Nature is doing its thing. We get a little bit of sun in the morning, prep our skin. We stay out of the midday sun because it's hot and is potentially dangerous, right? And then we go in the sun when it's cooled down a little bit in the evening, just like the bloody animals do in Africa. You don't see animals, lions, walking around in the midday sun, do you? No, you hardly, if you ever go on safari, no animals are out in the midday sun. Maybe a couple of elephants having a little doozy, but all the other animals, you go in the morning and the evening. That's where you see the most amount of animals, because they're just, you know, just like us. They're just being sensible. Obviously, they don't have sun cream, but you get what I'm saying, right? Now, your sleep. So morning sunlight and your sleep. So most don't know that sunlight stimulates subcellular mitochondrial melatonin. Bloody hell, that was a word. That was a mouthful. It stimulates this subcellular, I don't know why I'm going back to say it again. Let's just move on from that. So circadian rhythm is set, and by getting morning sunlight, you'll maximize your sleep quality and your duration. So you'll have deeper sleep and less sleep issues. Again, there's loads of science behind this. Morning sun is a natural energy booster. Okay, it stimulates this POMC gene in all humans, and the result is these like cleaved peptides which get produced and released. Okay, and you want these peptides. Dopamine, serotonin, and cortisol, which are all released first thing in the morning to help us wake up, right? They rise much quicker when you get morning sunlight, giving you this natural energy throughout the entire day, and they remove melatonin faster, so your mornings are more alert, right? So obviously your body produces melatonin in the nighttime, which helps you sleep, but you still have some of that melatonin in the morning. That morning sunlight gets rid of that melatonin much faster. Generally, that's why I'm slightly against melatonin supplementation at nighttime, because research has found that upon waking, individuals who have taken melatonin have much higher levels in the morning than average, which is why often these people then reach for the immediate caffeine, which actually then delays the body's natural waking process and often leads people to having these energy slumps in the afternoon, thus making them again like reach for caffeine, and in turn it makes them stay awake all night, because caffeine can stay in our body, you know, 8 to 12 hours. I think that the half-life of caffeine, so even after 6 hours you can still have half the caffeine still in your system. But that's this whole thing of, you know, taking melatonin at night, caffeine all day, you get into this vicious cycle because you can't sleep at night. So you take melatonin and then you're drowsy in the morning. So then you take caffeine and it's just, yeah. And if you are in that position and you find yourself just constantly bouncing from like high caffeine to, you know, to like needing to drowse yourself, the best thing to do to kind of break from that cycle is to have your body readjust. So our bodies are the ultimate adaptation machine. And to get out of a cycle like this, it requires individuals to stay up super late, right? And go to bed at 11:59 p.m. I was reading about this, 11:59 p.m. and then wake up at 5 a.m. Do this for a week before moving your bedtime 15 minutes earlier each night. And when your head hits the pillow, you will be out like a light. It's important with that you don't have any caffeine either, like during that first week period. Or if you do have caffeine, you're having no more than the daily recommended allowance of 400 milligrams. But if you can stick between like 150, 200 milligrams, which is like two coffees, more or less, and have that in the morning, maybe like an hour and a half after you've woken up, 2 hours after you've woken up, that's fine. But generally, like, definitely no caffeine later in the day. If you stick to that, going to bed at 11:59 and staying awake, not getting in bed and trying to fall asleep, literally just getting into bed at 11:59 and waking up at 5 a.m., you will break that cycle, or at least there's a very high probability that you will, because the body would have broken out of that old cycle and adapt into the new one. And like I said, our bodies are very good at adapting, and it's just about giving it something new to adapt to. Okay, so I'm hoping you're still with me with all of this, but I think it's fascinating stuff, and especially the morning sunlight. It's just such an important feature to your day-to-day life. So if you can get out into it in the morning, fantastic. Don't worry, like, I also have days where I go straight into working and I've got a lot going on. I don't manage to get outside and have morning sunlight, but just at some point in your day, if you can get outside, ideally in the morning for, you know, that energy release. But, you know, sunlight generally is great for us. And then obviously you always want to be safe in it. But if you can get sunlight morning, late afternoon, you know, when the UV is not super high, then it just will do wonders for your health. And to be honest, I'll probably do a whole episode on sunlight alone, because there's so much to it. And there's a lot of, like, the sun's been demonized a lot in our society today, I feel. And there are definitely some precautions you need to be taking, but there are definitely some sensible things that you can be doing. And, you know, one thing, like I touched upon, chemical toxic sunscreen is an absolute no-no, you know, using mineral sunscreen. But yeah, I'll do a whole episode on that and talk about that another time, because like I said, there's just a lot to unpack. But sunlight exposure, again, it's just a basic human tool that we can all use to improve our health. It's the healer of all things. Alrighty, so we've done walking, being out in the fresh air, not sitting down for too long, sunlight. We've scratched the surface on sleep. Again, I'll do a later episode on sleep. On a plain and simple level, if you're not making sleep an absolute priority, then you're setting yourself up for serious health issues when you're older, and you're just going to make your life harder. It is just the bedrock to health, the absolute backbone, the main pillar. But I think poor sleep generally, like, the reason why people are suffering so much from poor sleep is stress and technology. I think, you know, amongst all the positives that technology has brought to this world, and we're coming on to this, like, different part now, technology, there are so many downsides that sadly, you know, a lot of these we can control. Like, there are definitely downsides that maybe we can't, but I think with technology, especially social media, that is something that we can all control how we use. And for me, I generally, like, I'll be completely honest, I really struggle sometimes with social media, because a large part of my livelihood depends on it. I mean, you know, I have my fitness coaching app, of course, and that's off it. And, you know, I have my email subscriber list and all that stuff. But I absolutely use social media as a marketing tool alongside, you know, an educational platform and an entertainment platform. So it plays a prominent role in my life. And I post on social media every single day without failure. I might miss a day or two in a year, but every day I'm creating and posting on social media. So I'm very much in the thick of it. And people always ask me, would you be on social media if you didn't have to be? And my honest answer is, I actually don't think I wouldn't. I think it's such a distraction. And I don't care saying this, because obviously I like people watching my content, and I fucking need you to watch my content and engaging with me on a daily basis. Like, I love all that, and I think it's a great place to connect with people, but I would generally go without it, at least, probably not forever, but at least for a while. And I think just it's because I'm on it every day. So sometimes, and sometimes I do have little detoxes, just even if it's for a day. You know, I recently had to set myself boundaries where I only come on social media to create and post. I cannot scroll, or I am doomed. I'm doomed. I'm a sucker. I'll be on TikTok for 5 minutes if I'm taking a poo. And I look at the time and an hour has gone past. And I'm like, no, surely not. Shannon's like, James, what? Where have you been? And I'm too embarrassed to tell her. I've just been sitting on the loo, just on TikTok. But I thought it'd been 5 minutes. It's been an hour. You know, these apps and algorithms, they are so powerful. It's scary. And to be honest, as much as they're having a positive impact on people's lives around the world, I personally think they're doing more harm than good. I really do. Especially amongst the younger generation. Oh my God. That younger generation, sorry if you're listening to this, you're in trouble. You are in trouble. My sister, who is 21, she says she spends 3 to 4 hours on TikTok before bed. That's just before bed, not the rest of the day. And like, so she's 6 hours ahead in the UK, right? Sometimes she'll text me at 2 a.m. in the morning. I'm like, what are you doing awake? Or 3 a.m. I'm like, what? I'm about to go to bed. It's 9 o'clock here. I'm getting into bed. What are you doing? And she's like, oh, just been on TikTok. You know, she said, and then she says that's what all her friends do as well. And obviously, you know, I tell her, Bella, you need to get off TikTok. Like, it's just, you don't know what it's doing to your dopamine receptors and to your attention span. And it's just a terrible, terrible app for that reason. But, you know, she's 21. She's like, oh, don't tell me what to do. I'm fine. I know what I'm doing. Yeah. But yeah, it's, oh, people are walking around now completely numb to the simple pleasures in life. Going for a walk, listening to a good song, cooking food, you know, having a conversation with a friend. Just this simple stuff that usually gives us little dopamine highs and little boosts of serotonin. This stuff doesn't make people happy anymore because we have an entire generation, maybe even society, that is so overstimulated. People are waking up and the first thing they're doing is checking Instagram, checking emails, checking texts, and then all day chasing these dopamine highs from scrolling. Any spare moment people have, occupying their minds. Oh, I've got 10 seconds while I'm waiting in the queue at the post office. Let me get my phone out, scroll on Instagram. Because like going back to what I said earlier, we just can't be with our thoughts anymore. And I think the long-term damage of all of this, I'm sure, is gonna be crazy, like crazy. We don't know yet because it hasn't been long enough. Maybe there haven't been enough studies, whatever, but people can't sit down at a computer for more than 10 minutes these days without needing some kind of distraction, reaching for their phone. And you look around, and I'm sorry to be kind of like, you know, a bit negative here, but it's true. And like, it doesn't beat me down because I've kind of removed myself from letting it, you know, upset me and get me a bit annoyed. But like, everyone has their heads buried in their phones. Everyone. Next time you go out, right, and you're just like waiting somewhere, just observe it. Just watch how many people, even people like walking around on their phones. I hate it, man. I really do. It's so sad. And no wonder people are lonely these days because no one is fucking talking to each other. No one is talking to each other. No one. No one's paying attention to what's going on around them. It's crazy. It's crazy. Someone could be literally getting beaten up next to you or robbed. And then people wouldn't even realize because they're just locked into their phone. Oh, it's so sad, man. Just like look up at the world from time to time. And just take in its beauty. Just do that. Please. I'm asking you. People are more concerned with what bloody meme they're looking at than just taking a minute to appreciate their surroundings. I try to remove myself from my phone whenever it's not necessary to be on there. And look, I'm not perfect either. You know, sometimes I catch myself and look, of course, if you need to be on your phone to text someone or reply, whatever, I get it. You know, if you're busy and you've got emails to reply to, sure, I get it. I don't mean just walk around, you know, without your phone at all ever. But again, it's just being more conscious of it and being more aware of it. Because the thing with these devices nowadays, your whole life is on there. Oh my God. You can control everything from it. The other day we had an alarm system installed in our house. It's like Fort Knox in this house. Oh my God. I was going to buy this alarm system, right, for like, it's like $90 a month. I thought, God, that's great for an alarm system. The bloke comes over, and of course, the $90 option is literally just an alarm for the front door that just goes beep, beep when it goes off. That's it, nothing else. So he's like, well, sir, if you want to get this one, then you have to put the camera in here, and you got to do this, and we can get these window breakers on. And obviously, Shannon was there going, yeah, yeah, Shannon, the consumer, going, oh, yeah, that sounds great, James. I'd rather be safe. And obviously, I can't argue with that, right? I would also rather us be safe. I'm not even going to tell you how much it cost. But yeah, we were, I mean, I was like, that is mad that they have just come and they have just completely sold us down the river. But better safe than sorry, right? Especially around here with you lot and people with guns on them. God, I want to know if someone's coming to my house and they're carrying a gun. Separate issue. We've diverted. Where was I? Oh yeah, devices, everything on your device. So the alarm system, I can control everything from my phone. I can turn the alarm on and off. I can see who's at the front of my house with my camera. I can see the other cameras around my house. I can do everything. I can change the temperature in my house from my phone now. Even when I'm not inside my house, I can do that. I can set the heating on so that when we come back, it's nice and cozy. I mean, it's just crazy, you know? And obviously, you know, you text your friends, you do your emails, you can write notes, surf the web, social media, watch sport, watch Netflix. Oh, it's crazy. So like, of course, more and more reason for us to be on our phones. But I think the best thing is just to be conscious of what you're using it for. That's it. Be conscious of what you're using it for. If you find yourself constantly aimlessly scrolling, stop. It's destroying your creativity, your productivity, your relationships, your personable skills, your mood. In some cases, it's making people depressed and anxious. Set limits on these apps. They actually work, those limit things. Lock your phone away in a drawer when you're working. Put it on airplane mode. That's what I do when I'm doing deep work. Phone goes on airplane mode. Don't care if there's an emergency. I'm getting my work done. When you're having dinner, don't put your phones on the table. Leave them in your pockets. If you're at home, put them away in a drawer. Have that time with your family. Set boundaries. Set yourself boundaries with it. It's what I do and it really works. I notice a direct correlation between my happiness levels and productivity. Right, they go up massively the less time I spend on my phone. And I just have to keep reminding myself that I'm not missing out scrolling on social media. I'm really not. Don't care what anyone else is doing, to be honest. I actually really don't. I don't like watching other people's stories because it makes me a bit anxious. I'm like, oh, look at that. Oh, they're doing amazing. Or they're on this holiday or they're in this beautiful place. And it makes me question, like, what am I doing in my own life? I don't do it anymore. I remove myself because I know what it does to me. And I'm happier. I'm more present. And I'm a more productive human when I'm not on my phone wasting time. We weren't designed to be overstimulated like we are today. I'm telling you, it is destroying our health in more ways than we know. Put your phone down. You know, you're missing out on so much by being on it all the time. And for the love of God, don't take your phone to your bedroom when you go to sleep. Put it outside or in another room. Doom scrolling happens, I know, because if I get into bed with my phone, I'm doom scrolling. That's it. That's half an hour of my life gone. I know it in an instant. So I don't even take it to the bedroom with me. We've got a bathroom that's like connected to our bedroom. I put it in the bathroom. I put it on do not disturb or airplane mode. And I get into bed without it. We Shannon and I both do that. And also because of, you know, the Wi-Fi connectivity and all that stuff. You don't want that stuff in your bedroom. You know, all that kind of... all those like wavelengths, infrared stuff going and the radiation that your phone gives off when you're sleeping. You know, try if you can, I'd highly recommend popping your phone in another room when you go to sleep. Or if you are looking at your phone in the evening, a big one is red light mode. Just YouTube or Google how to put phone in red light mode. It takes 2 minutes and then you can set it to red light mode in the evening so you're not getting that blue light that keeps you awake at night. So yeah, do that. And I know some of you are going, oh, yeah, but what about your alarm, James? What about I use my iPhone for my alarm? Buy an alarm clock. There you go, easy. Buy an alarm clock. I use this one called Hatch, H-A-T-C-H. They are incredible. Like I said, they are like, I don't wake up to an alarm anymore because I've gotten into this like a very good cycle. Obviously, if I travel and stuff and I go away, that's then... You know, when you're out of your nice, comfortable environment, regular environment, then of course, like your sleep does get affected. So then you do have to, of course, I'll set an alarm. You know, sometimes even if I know I have to get up for something, I'll still set an alarm, but I try and wake up naturally. But with these Hatch alarms, they're quite pricey, but worth every penny, in my opinion. They have this like soothing alarm to wake up to, and this gentle light comes on. It's like, and you can set these alarms, they're like birds tweeting or like the sound of the waves going. And it's a really nice way to wake up. And they also have these options to play white noise. So I actually play white noise And you can't have it too loud because apparently that also disrupts your sleep. Bloody hell, I know, it's crazy, isn't it? It's hard to keep up with everything. But we have these waves crashing as white noise. Oh my God, sleep like a baby. My sleep has never been better. It puts you in a trance. And these things, yeah, they do everything on there. So buy a Hatch alarm. Highly recommend. Now, what time are we on? Bloody hell, I've been talking for 50 minutes or something. Oh, I thought this was going to be a short one. We're almost done, by the way, guys. So stay with me. Stay with me. The last basic thing that I want to talk about, fundamental, that we could all be doing better, is eating food. Once again, I could do a whole episode on this and I probably will. But for now, I'm going to keep it very simple and light, okay? And I'm probably going to put to bed a lot of the nonsense that you often see on social media and online. Stick to eating whole foods as much as possible. It's not rocket science. If 80% of your diet is food that has come from the earth, then you will be winning in life. I don't really care what diet you do. Plant-based, carnivore, paleo, keto, whatever. Actually, just don't do keto, right? No, I'm kidding, you can. Just pick one that's going to suit you best. And don't just do it because some bozo on the internet told you it was the best one and it was a miracle worker and it can cure this and cure that and do this and do that, okay? These people are all just trying to sell you their books and supplements, I'm telling you, okay? Objectively, the best diet in the world is a balanced one. I personally don't think only eating plants is optimal. That's my personal opinion. For the large majority of people, if you are an athlete and you are plant-based and you are someone who has, you know, all this help around you, cooking your food and guiding you and navigating, you've got meal plans and everything, so you like worked out for you, sure. But for the most part, right, people who are plant-based generally, at least from what I've seen, aren't getting in all the nutrients that they need. My personal opinion, I am also an advocate of generally, you know, including lots of plants in your diet. I think plants are great. But you know, eating plants only, I don't think is optimal. Neither is only eating meat. I don't think that's optimal, this carnivore nonsense that's come back. Yes, of course, like, again, if it works for you, it works for you. I just, speaking from like a science point of view and a health point of view, it is just not optimal only eating like one food group and discluding so many good, nutritious food options. Usually, that being said, the best line to take is somewhere in the middle. But like I said, it's completely personal preference. Just ensure, the main thing is that you ensure you are getting in the right nutrients that your body needs. That's all you need to think about. And again, we could all do with going back to basics when we eat. None of this fancy nonsense you see on the internet with all these complicated recipes and, oh, like sometimes I look at it, I think, you know what? That looks delicious. Can I be asked to make that? No, I've got 10 minutes, 15 minutes. That's going to take me 40 minutes, right? If you've got that time, great. Get spicy with things, you know? Put your apron on, put your hat on, stick some tunes on, get creative. Knock it out of the park, definitely. Like if I had the time, I would. For the majority of people, that's not realistic. And you don't need all the fancy fugazi, you know, all that stuff to be healthy. Like, we all struggle for time these days anyway, again, because, you know, it's like there's no shut off anymore, especially with working at home. Like, there's no boundaries anymore. Like, we're working more than ever. We're able to be contacted in six different ways. Emails popping up on our phone 24/7, WhatsApps, iMessages. Crazy, right? Like, it's hard to freaking get away, and because we want to do well and we want to work and we want to earn money, we end up working loads, right? So we're spending less time cooking food. I know that firsthand as well, because I would say 95% of members that come on board the Coach James Club, one of their biggest issues is they don't have time to cook. Having a meal plan can solve that 10 times, because you can just open it up, go, cool, this is my recipe today, this is what I need to buy, bosh, done. But no one has time to cook three meals a day and spend an hour each on it, okay? That's just a fact. You do, though, have time to spend 15 to 20 minutes making a meal. An hour a day, max, cooking food for yourself. If you can't dedicate that to the very thing that is keeping you alive and healthy, the very thing that we were pretty much put on this planet to do, eat food, right, to survive and thrive and function, then your priorities are wrong. I don't care what you say. I coach women who are, and I know what, you know, some of you are going, well, James, that's easy for you because, you know, you just live basically by yourself and you work for yourself and you've got all the time. Sure, granted, I'm in a very fortunate position, okay? People also think like I just sit at home and twiddle my thumbs. Like, I'm also very busy. But I can say this because I coach women who are mothers of four children and they work two jobs and they're single parents and they still manage to cook healthy food for themselves and for their kids. And they didn't initially, but they can now because they're prioritizing it. And if you're not doing it, it's because it's not a priority to you and you're not making the time. People all the time, oh, I don't have time to cook 20 minutes every day. Oh, but you do have time to scroll 20 minutes on Instagram. Yeah, but that's like my free time. That's me relaxing. It's priorities. It is all about priorities. Batch cook if you need to. Cook a whole load of food in one go on a Sunday and meal prep then for later. Cook enough food to last you a couple of days. You just have to find a way that works for you. And again, you don't need to be making fancy meals. Fruit, yogurt, eggs, cheese, bread. All that stuff is pretty much ready to eat on the spot. Or you might have to put the bread in the toaster for 2 minutes. God forbid. Like, all that stuff you can eat in a heartbeat. I have fruit yogurt, you know, nuts, etc. A bit of toast in the morning. It takes me 5 minutes to make and eat. And then you know, throw in your chicken, your steak, your fish, bit of rice, pasta, potatoes, staple foods that should be in your shopping basket. Literally, that is all you need in your diet as staples to be healthy. Yeah, look, okay, it's not riveting, it's not exciting, all that stuff. You know, you might get bored eating the same meals, but we don't eat more than 15 to 20 meals on rotation anyway, you know? So just get used to eating the same kind of food over and over again. It's just one of those things you have to do. If you are eating those foods, like the whole foods that I've just mentioned, you will struggle to overeat, I promise. I have never had a client gain weight on my meal plans unless they've specifically wanting to, unless they're eating in a calorie surplus. I've never had a client gain weight, the ones who come on board and want to lose weight when we give them a meal plan. And you know what? Every single member that joins our program, I get it almost with everyone. It's so funny. I just wait for them to say it. Like, and usually in the first 2 weeks, they go, James, I have never eaten so much food in my life. Like, I am so full after every meal. I haven't, and they all say, I haven't snacked once because they're eating real food, whole foods. That stuff fills you up and it's not packed with calories. It's not calorie dense. It's like whole foods. It is. I've never seen anyone go for a second ribeye steak and mashed potato. Have you? No. Like, full to the brim after that. I've never seen someone overeat blueberries. I've never seen someone polish off a box of blueberries and go, you know what? I'm starving. Give me another one. And then go, and another. No. Like, you could name that with anything. Apples. You eat one apple, you're full. Not full, but you know what I mean? Like, you're not smashing three apples. Or you know, you don't go through a bag of carrots in one sitting and then go, oh, you know what? I could do with some more carrots. No, bananas. People don't smash three bananas at once, do they? You have one, maybe two, if you're bulking. You know, snack on those things if you need to. But also get it in your main meals. You can eat a lot of food when it's whole. That is the beauty of it. It's like this little secret. It's amazing. You can actually be so full all the time and not eat that many calories. And guess what? You can do that and still smash a pizza on the weekend. And eat some ice cream after dinner. Maybe some chocolate. Knock yourself out. The 20%. That's called being human. Like, this stuff is, it's not rocket science. Like, of course, it's like, you know, that there's a lot of stuff that factors into it, of course. But like, the crux of it is not rocket science. It's just going back to basics. It's taking control of what goes in your mouth and not succumbing to all this ultra processed garbage that man has made to make you ill. And make huge profits. These massive corporations making huge, huge profits from all this crap that they're making. Stick to cooking as much as you can and just stick to the basics. You will thrive and prosper. Alrighty, still with me? We're going to wrap things up. Yep, we're going to wrap things up. We're getting an hour. Do you know what? I was meant to be doing these podcasts. My plan, right, was to knock these podcasts out and do like one a fortnight and keep them like 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes. I can't do it. If I spoke for 20 minutes on this, we'd just cover like talking about freaking snacking. Like, I just can't do it. I will try and keep them. I mean, give me some feedback, guys. Like, drop me a message on Instagram or whatever, just with if you do like the long ones. I am going to start doing some like shorter, punchier ones because I want to make them like, you know, we'll just do like 20 minutes on sunlight, 20 minutes on grounding, you know, these kinds of little things. These ones at the start, it's just because, you know, I haven't podcasted for a while. It's been a whole year, so I'm just got a lot to say, you know. Anyway, I want to say that just to wrap things up, because this is really important with this all, there is no point trying to live like a saint. There just isn't. That should not be the goal, to live like the perfect healthy life. The goal is to live to our maximum capacity within our capabilities, okay? Which, by the way, are greater than you think. Your capabilities are greater than you think. But it's to live to our maximum capacity within our capabilities while still enjoying the beauty of life and prospering. I don't live like a monk, and nor would I want to be honest. I try and do as much of these basic things as I can and when I'm able to, okay? And a lot of them I do a lot of the time, but there are many times when I don't do them. Like when, you know, when I'm out and about, like for you, you know, when we're out in society, you can't, and that's okay. But just try your best with what you have in front of you. Keep it top of mind. Don't let it consume you, but keep it top of mind. And often the healthier option is the basic one, and it's right in front of our eyes. People just aren't aware of it. But I have to say this, since stripping things back to basics and actually using nature a lot more and removing myself from the common modern modalities, I have never felt more connected, not only with myself and like my health and like how I truly feel, but also the entire world around me. I have a newfound appreciation of the basics, of Mother Nature, you know, of the amazing, beautiful world that we live in, and how much we can use, you know, what the world provides us, what nature provides us to completely thrive. And like I said, you can't live in fear. You can't live like a caveman, unless you want to. I mean, I'm not stopping anyone from doing that, but it's just not, that won't be enjoyable. Unless you're a complete nut and you do want to go live like a caveman, then try it and report back. But I firmly believe that the more of us who can go back to doing the basics more, using what nature gives us and being more aware of these modern toxicities around us, the better off we will be. And it's small mindset shifts and little actionable changes that are so doable that can completely enhance your health, your happiness, and your life, and give you the most incredible results that you've ever seen. You'll be surprised. It's what my team and I are working on a daily basis with all of our members in the Coach James Club. Just simple, basic things, going back to basics and just helping people instill all of these things into their life so they can thrive. It's not, you know, not obviously, you know, lose weight, yeah, all that stuff, build muscle, but actually like living a lifestyle that they enjoy, but is also still healthy, that they can do. Going back to our roots is actually much easier than we think it is. It's much easier than half the trash we see on the internet today and all this complicated nonsense. Going back to basics, nothing crazy, nothing far-fetched. Simple. Just keep it simple. All right? Well, I hope after listening to this, you at least ponder the idea of getting rid of some of the kind of, you know, bad habits, maybe the sort of poisonous, if I can use that word, poisonous modern day distractions and instruments that can actually contribute negatively to your physical health and mental health. And you can begin living more like our ancestors did. Not fully, all right? Not fully, or you'll get locked up in a mental asylum for running around in a loincloth and a stick shouting, back to basics. But you know what I mean. Just a sprinkle of that, all right? I promise it will make your life better forever.